Radio 4. Afternoon Theatre.
The Camp of the Dog, one of the John Silence stories of the supernatural and the uncanny by Algernon Blackwood. Adapted for radio by Sheila Hodgson. The Camp of the Dog.
That'll do, cabby. Stop on the corner, will you?
By the vagabond club's here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Good day.
Good afternoon, Mr. Abbott.
James?
A bit warmer today, sir.
Shall I take your coat?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm expecting a guest.
Ah, a reverend gentleman, yes, sir. He's come already. I put him in the visitor's lounge.
Excellent.
Dr. Silence in the club?
Yes, sir.
Wonder. Look, ask him if he'd join me later, will you? If he can spare the time.
Yes, sir. You'll be in the visitors' lounge.
Oh, yes, yes. For an hour or so, at least. We shall be having tea there.
Right, sir.
Mr. Hubbard.
Maloney, my dear fellow. How are you?
Hating London.
Oh,
come. Then I never visit it, unless I'm on my way somewhere else. Oh, in 3 weeks' time, we shall have left civilization behind us. Thank God. Oh,
you sound as if you're glad.
I am, profoundly.
Where have you left your wife and daughter? I was expecting...
Oh, women. They've gone shopping.
Not so glad to be leaving civilization behind, eh?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Incidentally, I told them to meet me here. Is that all right?
Of course. When?
Oh, what a question. When they've finished with the shops, I imagine. They'll probably descend on the club carrying hat boxes, brown paper parcels, feminine bric-a-brac. Your hall porter will be horrified.
Well, don't worry. James is very well trained. He'll scoop them up and sweep them into the visitor's lounge before they can take one step down the hall. Tea.
Thank you.
I'm quite glad to talk to you first. I've got a list of our basic equipment here. As I see it, we shall need... What's the matter?
Who's that man?
I'm sorry?
Behind you. Over by the pillar. Thin with a short dark beard. Most extraordinary grey eyes.
Why, John!
You know him?
I got your message.
My dear John, I'm so very glad to see you. Look, may I introduce... this is the Reverend Timothy Maloney, Dr. John Silence.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? You are a visitor to London?
Yes, indeed. But why?
Oh, forgive me. You have the look of a man who prefers a cleaner air, a wider horizon.
You're entirely right. My parish is in Sussex, but I'm taking a 3-month holiday with our friend here.
Ah, yes, I was anxious to have a word with you before I go, John. We shall be away for some time, going first to Stockholm and then to the Northern Islands.
I envy you. Where do you hope to pitch camp?
Oh, the Lord alone knows, Dr. Silence. We shall potter about for hundreds of tiny uninhabited isles.
I know.
Beautiful, John. You've no idea. Wild, untamed, elemental beauty. You should come with us.
Yeah, I wish I could.
You rang, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. Tea, please. You'll join us, John?
Thank you, no. I'm with some friends.
Oh, just for two, then?
Yes, sir.
How many of you are going on this adventure?
Mr. Maloney, his wife and daughter, myself.
And a student. Oh, did I tell you, Mr. Hubbard, I'm taking one of my students, a boy from Canada.
Oh, really?
Five of you. Yes, well, I must rejoin my friend.
I'm sorry you can't wait, but I'll see you when we get back to London.
If not before. Yes, excuse me. Goodbye, Mr. Maloney.
Goodbye, sir. Pleasure to have met you.
Goodbye, John.
What did you say his name was?
Dr. Silence, a very old and dear friend of mine.
I judge him to be wealthy. One of your Harley Street specialists, no doubt.
Oh, good Lord, no. Though he's got money, certainly. John Silence spends his working hours doctoring the poor and his leisure. Well, I scarcely know how to tell you this.
What's that?
He studies psychical phenomena.
table rapping, crystal balls and cells. His own.
No, I put it badly. He's an expert on the mental causes of bodily illness. The shadowy areas of the subconscious. What he calls the mysteries of the soul.
Good heavens, does he?
You don't approve.
As a clergyman, Mr. Hubbard, you could hardly expect me to approve. I must confess, anything to do with a man's soul, I consider my business.
Isn't that a little presumptuous?
Yes, and I didn't mean... Ah, here they are.
God, at last. Eleanor, Joan.
Hello, Father.
We are both exhausted. How do, Mr. Hubbard? I have simply got to sit down.
Why, of course.
Thank you, barbecue.
Your club is splendidly nailed. We were both brushed out of the entrance hall at once, like so many specks of dust.
I'll order some more tea.
Why do you call it the Vagabonds Club? Nothing could be more civilized.
The English passion for paradox, I suppose.
How was the shopping?
A bore. Marvelous. But the crowds, Tim, and the cans.
Never mind, Mrs. Maloney. 3 weeks from now, you won't have cause to complain. There won't be too many people. There won't be anybody except us.
Now, have we got all the luggage?
Yes.
Well, where's my green case? Joan, are you sitting on my green case?
No, Mother.
Don't fuss, Eleanor. We've got everything, I promise.
But are you sure? Remember the time we found ourselves in the middle of the Black Forest without a frying pan? 2, 4. Now, where's the Gladstone bag?
I have it with me.
I have never really trusted horses ever since that terrible morning in Bale. 6, 8. Yes, that seems to be everything. Now, where's Mr. Sangley?
He won't be long. It was arranged that he should meet us here.
The train goes in half an hour. You do know the train goes in half an hour.
Hello, Mrs. Maloney. I've bought a selection of magazines to read on the journey.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Maloney.
Shall we get on board?
We're waiting for Peter Sangley, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, I'll see if I can spot him. What does he look like?
My dear, what does Peter Sangley look like?
Come, he's your student, Maloney, you must know.
He's a very ordinary little man.
Short, tall, dark. Fair.
I can't say I've noticed. He's just ordinary.
His health is bad.
Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging. Is he the right man for our party?
Do him good. Toughen the boy up. He's young. We shall need another pair of hands around the camp.
Well, he may be in the ticket hall. Excuse me a moment.
Tim, there's someone who seems to know you.
What's that?
Good morning, Mr. Maloney.
Ah, good morning. My dear, this is... You must forgive me. I've entirely forgotten your name.
John Silas.
Of course. Dr. John Silas.
Oh, how do you do? Tim, I think we should be getting into the train. We shall never get four corner seats.
All right, dear. You and Joan take your places. I'll wait here for Sangley.
Very well, dear.
Well, he isn't in the booking hall as far as I can make out. There's nobody who resembles... John! Well, this is uncommonly kind of you.
I was near the station. I had a sudden impulse to wish you bon voyage.
Well, thank you.
Barely 10 minutes left. Where is that boy? Excuse me.
They seem a pleasant family.
Yes, indeed.
The mother is pretty, the daughter is not. It happens from time to time. I always find it rather sad. Do you look forward to your journey?
Well, very much. It should be a fascinating trip. I'll write to you.
Yes, do that. You'll be going very much back to nature, as they say. The islands can be terribly empty.
My dear man, are you afraid we'll turn into savages?
No. There is, I think, a more immediate danger.
Oh, and what's that?
That you will turn into yourselves.
Are you coming, Hubbard? We're all here now.
Tell me, who is that young man with Mr. Maloney?
He's the Canadian student. I believe he's called Peter Sangley. He doesn't look up to much, does he? Better with a pen than an axe, I'm afraid.
Hubbard, it's time. Hurry.
Yes, coming. I'll see you when I get back, John.
Unless you should send for me sooner.
What did you say?
Stephen, listen to me. I shall be in Stockholm. If you need me, write. Right.
He spoke for all the world as if he had some queer presentiment.
Upon my soul, I find that absurd. And a trifle disconcerting, to speak the truth. I exchanged barely 10 words with your friend.
Oh, John Silence doesn't go by words. He has a kind of perception, an almost animal instinct for danger.
My dear good fellow, we're not going to run into any danger, I can promise you that. I've had a lot of experience, so have you, and a properly equipped, well-organized party.
Yes. Tell me about Sangri.
My young student. What's there to say?
He strikes me as unsuitable.
Oh, the boy's willing enough. Delicate. Might be a touch of lung trouble. But he's willing, willing. An innocent abroad, is that what you mean?
Have you known him long?
About 3 months. He came over to study for his degree. I can't say he's made much impression on us.
No, you couldn't remember what he looked like.
Sorry?
I asked you on the station platform, and after 3 months, you couldn't even remember what he looked like.
Hmm. Isn't this wonderful?
Yes, indeed.
Little green islands, black pine woods, ice blue water. I know, the sky-high clouds.
You enjoy it. Hmm?
It's like coming back to heaven.
Yes. Oh, put your coat on, child. We don't want you catching cold.
Dreaming, Mr. Sangri?
Oh, hello. I was miles away, lost. Have you noticed? You can lean on the rail and watch the water sliding away beneath you hour after hour. And look at the gulls following the ship.
You'll find life very different when we pitch camp.
Yes, I suppose so.
Are you fond of nature?
What a queer way of putting it. Fond? No, I don't think so. But you see, one belongs.
You seem better than you were in London.
Have I changed?
Well, you've more color in your face. You look a bit more solid.
It's not just me.
Oh, quite, quite. We all needed a change.
Joan, you know.
Hmm?
Miss Maloney. I used to think her a rather plain girl. In England, London, on the city streets, she appeared awkward, wrong. Too thin, too dark. But here it's different.
I wouldn't call her pretty, even now.
Oh, no. Not pretty. Not pretty at all. But beautiful.
You're not in the center.
Sorry, sir.
Strike, man. Use some power. Oh, give me the axe.
What are you laughing at, Mr. Hubbard?
I'm sorry. It's your father. I don't think he should have ever been a clergyman. He's so obviously much happier as a lumberjack.
I'm afraid Mr. Sangri annoys him.
Yes, well. He's not going to be a very useful member of the party, hmm?
Hubbard! Joan! Why are you standing there? It's time we had a campfire.
Oh, we have our marching orders.
Do you want us to collect brushwood, Father?
Yes, and hurry. Only a few hours before we lose the daylight.
Oh, well, come along then, Joan. Oh, that should be enough. Now, don't try and carry any more, Joan.
Oh, I can manage. I'm very strong.
Then have some respect for my ears and stop a minute, hmm?
Are you all right?
If I can get my breath back. Oh. This is the most fantastic place. We can see over the whole island from up here.
Yes. Worries me. It's so empty.
What? Well, most of these little islands are completely uninhabited. Surely you didn't expect neighbors.
Of course not. But I think Father's made a mistake.
Huh? Well, that campsite is perfect, Joan. Level ground, a splendid view, a rise at the back to break the wind.
It's the camp. It's the island.
What about it?
You don't notice anything.
Well, woods look a bit decayed.
Why?
I'm sorry?
You really haven't seen what's wrong?
No, I'm afraid not.
And yet you said yourself we can see across the entire island, Mr. Hubbard. There are no birds, there are no animals, and there is no water.
Upon my word, I believe you're right.
Blast. I beg your pardon, my dear. The fault's entirely mine. I should have done a survey first.
Are we going to strike camp then?
No. No, the light is fading already. We have enough fresh water for tonight. Tomorrow we can take the dinghy and explore some of the nearby islands. If there's a spring not too far away, I suggest we stay put. Quite easy to bring supplies across.
No.
You won't find a better ground for the tents, my dear.
I dislike the place. It has no life anywhere.
Be reasonable. If there's no fresh water, it follows there can be no life.
Are these islands volcanic?
In origin, I would think so.
Ford?
Ah!
Ford!
Come to the cookhouse door!
He remembered the frying pan this time. Mr. Hubbard, will you hand the plates round?
Right.
That smells delicious right here. My compliments to the cook.
Where's the bread?
Where's Mr. Sangre? Mr. Sangre, we're eating.
He's over there, leaning against the tree.
Oh, dear. I hope that young man isn't going to spend all his time in a brown study. Sangre, food!
I'm sorry?
Bacon, bread. Haven't you got an appetite?
Sit down, Mr. Sangre.
Now, jobs for the morning. There's no fresh water on this island, Sangre, which means somebody must take the boat and go on a voyage of exploration. I suggest you and Mr. Hubbard and Joan. We shall be busy about the camp.
Right. So tie the boat to that tree. Steady. Good, good. You want a hand, Joan?
Heavens, no.
Oh, you're like a mountain goat.
Do we split up?
Yeah, I should think so. Be quicker. You go along the coast to the right.
Yes, all right.
Joan, to the left, and I'll try my luck inland.
Mr. Hubbard.
Hmm? What's the matter?
I'd rather come with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, I refuse to believe you're nervous.
No, I'm not. But I do want to talk to you. Listen, don't leave me alone with Mr. Sangre, please.
My dear child, has he been annoying you? You'd better tell your father.
No, there's nothing I can object to, but I'm always afraid he's going to say or do something that might lead to unpleasantness.
You must be kind to him, whatever else you may feel. He's exceedingly fond of you.
I know, but I can't help it. It makes me feel, I don't know, half afraid.
Poor man. It's not his fault if he's delicate.
Oh, but that's not what I mean. There's something deep down in him that calls to something deep down in me. Something in his very soul that terrifies me. I can't explain what I mean, but I can't help it. Anyway, I'm glad I told you. Don't let's talk about it anymore.
I understand. Well, which way shall we go?
Up the hillside?
Hmm.
There might be water beyond. Did you sleep well?
Yes, like a log. What an extraordinary question. I should have thought all of us were tired out after your father's slave driving.
You didn't hear anything?
In the night?
I did. I woke some time before dawn, and I heard a dog crying.
Oh, wild dogs, yes. You get a lot of them in this part of the world. Nothing to be afraid of. They won't come near the campfire.
I heard a dog.
Well, as I told you.
You still don't understand, do you? There are no animals on the island. There is no water.
Yes. Yes, I take your point. But, well, we could have been mistaken. A quick search.
Yes,
my word upon it. We made a mistake. There must be a hidden spring. There are trees, after all.
But even the trees are dying.
My dear, I expect you dreamt it.
Can you be woken by a noise you've dreamt?
It's a medical fact, actually. I shouldn't worry. You were exhausted and having a nightmare.
Hello?
Huh?
Hello?
Oh, that's Sangre. Sounds as if he's been lucky.
Mr. Hubbard, I found water.
Good man. Come along. We better get the cans from the boat.
The dog?
That's what she said.
Quite impossible.
I suppose it might have swum across from one of the other islands.
Well, why should it? No, no. I caught a number of fish today. That should make good eating for breakfast.
You really enjoy this life, don't you, Maloney?
Oh, my dear fella, between ourselves, I live for it. I exist during the rest of the year, but for 3 months, I live. Throw another log on. There's a good chap.
Yes.
coming to bed, Tim?
In a minute.
Joan's fast asleep. It must be the air.
Mm. How still it is.
This island would be quite perfect, but I miss the birds.
There must be a few.
No, no, Tim. I noticed all day. There's not a sound, not even a seabird. Just a dull thud as cones drop from the branches.
Somebody said the trees are dying.
I think they are. The wood you brought in was dry as tinder.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, yes, yes.
Not too strenuous for you?
Good heavens, no. I can... Don't laugh. I can be young again. And I don't have to wear a hat. No, I'm serious. I always feel St. Paul was a most unreasonable old man.
St. Paul wasn't old, Eleanor. At the time of the vision on the road to Damascus. Oh, God, what was that?
Tim.
It can't
listen.
Be.
A wolf?
No, a wild dog.
I'll get my gun.
It seemed to come from over there, behind the mound.
Where's Joan?
In her tent asleep. You said so.
Yeah, yes, of course. Yes, she is.
Stay close to the fire. I'll keep the gun across my knee just in case.
Where's Sangri?
Oh, the boy is sleeping heavily. I looked in a few minutes ago.
Dear God, don't they hear it?
Behind the trees,
no? No, just beyond those bushes.
Quiet, please. I can't get the range. Listen.
There's a wind getting up.
What's that?
The branches creaking.
I think it's gone.
But what was it?
It could have been a trick of the wind, bringing the sound across from another island.
Is that likely?
It's just possible. What isn't possible is that there should be a dog on this island. The creature would die.
This is ridiculous. The fire's getting low and I'm cold. Shall I make a mug of coffee?
Do, my dear.
Nobody going to bed yet.
I'm not tired. Might as well sit up. Just in case.
In case what?
Oh, I'm being absurd. As my wife says, ridiculous. There can't be a dog. Stir up the fire, my dear fellow.
Good morning, Mr. Hubbard.
Oh, good morning, Joan. Did you sleep well?
Oh, yes, thank goodness. Blissfully.
No more noises in the darkness?
Oh, that. Don't tease me, Mr. Hubbard. It must have been a dream.
Good morning, Miss Maloney.
Breakfast won't be long. Mother's cooking fish. Excuse me, I'd better go and help her.
Oh. Cheer up, Sangri. Oh,
Mr. Hubbard, I think you said... I think I've heard you say that there are no animals on this island.
Why? Have you heard anything?
No, no, and I don't want to alarm the ladies, but may I show you something?
Yes?
I noticed it when I came out of my tent this morning. There are marks on the ground. There has certainly been some animal here.
Good Lord. Wait, I must get Mr. Maloney. Maloney!
Yes?
Look, can you come over here? I think the guy line on Sangri's tent is loose.
Nonsense. I put it up myself. What's this? What's the matter?
Keep your voice down. Sangri has found the footprints of an animal.
Where?
Around my tent, sir. Look.
Dear
God. I'm right, aren't I? It's a dog. The tracks go right up to the opening. And then stop. Did you hear anything during the night?
I'm afraid not. I sleep very heavily.
You most certainly do.
Please, I'm not scared for myself. The beast must have run off.
Impossible.
The monarch.
Mr. Sangri, we heard a dog howling in the darkness. So Mr. Maloney and myself took it in turns to sit up all through the night. Nothing came into the camp.
But that is a fact.
You think I'm playing some practical joke, gentlemen? Do you think I made those marks myself?
Mr. Sangri, in all honesty and truth, I don't know what to think.
Is nobody going to bed tonight?
Oh, there's a splendid full moon. I'm not ready for bed yet. Are you, Hubbard?
No. No. Very, very wide awake.
You look as if you're going to fall asleep over the campfire, both of you.
Well, I'm not sitting up. Come along, Joe. We'll say goodnight.
I can't understand you. I'm tired out. Good night, Father.
Good night, my dear. Sleep well.
Good night, Miss Maloney.
Oh, good night.
Sit down, Sangre. We may have a long wait.
You got your gun?
Yes. Should we take it in turns to mount guard?
Seems sensible. 2 hours each, hmm? But nobody to go to their tent or we'll disturb the ladies.
Mind if I light my pipe?
Oh, well, I'll join you. Mr. Sangre?
I'm not allowed to smoke. I've got a weak chest.
Better do something to keep awake. We know you'll sleep like the dead. Can you whistle?
If it amuses you, sir.
Oh, Lord. This is a desolate place. One could imagine oneself at the very birth of the world.
On the first day, God created light.
And the darkness. And the creatures that move in the dark. Maloney, what in heaven's name can it be?
God knows.
Oh, yes, God knows. But what do you think?
It came from another island
in the middle of the night. Forgive me, but isn't that wildly unlikely?
Oh, my friend, when you've exhausted all the obvious solutions, what remains?
However unlikely,
it's got to be true.
I wonder what the time is.
Early. Early. Keep your wits about you, man. And keep watch.
You were both fast asleep. And only poor Mr. Sangre sitting by the ashes looking positively grey. Oh, Tim.
I'm sorry, my dear. Did anything happen?
No, no, except poor Joan isn't feeling very bright.
Joan?
Good morning, Father.
You do look pale. Great smudges under your eyes. What's the matter, child?
Couldn't sleep all night. Stupid. I don't know why. Felt as if something had gone wrong.
We may as well tell her. Joan, only the night before last, we think there was a wild dog prowling round the camp. That's why the men set up a guard.
A dog?
Or we're supposed to set up a guard.
Is breakfast ready?
Yes. Now, don't call Mr. Sangre. The poor boy's gone into the most exhausted sleep.
Oh.
And don't ask him to do any work today, Tim. It isn't fair. Come and help me with the breakfast, Joan.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Alexander.
Morning. We disgraced ourselves, I'm afraid. Still? Nothing happened.
No sign of the creature?
Nope.
Maloney, did we imagine it?
I was about to ask you that. This wilderness plays strange tricks on a man's mind.
But we saw footprints.
Did we? There's nothing there now. Footprints? Or the chance scratches of a tent pole in the dust?
Do you want to sit up again tonight?
I think not. If it was an animal, it's gone. And if it was a dream, we're making idiots of ourselves. Come. Breakfast.
Oh, it's getting colder. Is there a moon tonight?
No. Clouds trickling over the mountaintop, like smoke.
Strange. The sky keeps changing pattern and the clouds drift on.
Primitive. Marvelous. I could look at those jagged rocks for hours. I've never seen a place so utterly untouched by that. Bare bones of creation.
Oh, sit there and smoke your pipe. I shall go to bed. Will you be long?
Just checking the fishing lines. Tomorrow I shall...
Stop!
Dear God, it's Joan!
Oh, what happened?
Joan! Joan, where are you?
I'm here.
Oh, my child, hold on to me.
Oh,
what
happened?
Is it?
There's blood on her arm. She's been attacked.
Was it an animal?
I don't know.
Oh, my child.
You get your gun, Maloney. All right, Mrs. Maloney. Don't worry. I'll get my lantern and then we'll search the camp.
I'll wake Sangre.
You're quite safe now. Let me see your arm.
It's only a scratch. It's exactly as if something had been pawing at my arm.
Does it hurt?
Not much.
Lie back. I'll boil some water. You're quite safe now.
Maloney?
Yeah.
Any luck?
Got a sign of the brute. Sangre's just coming. I had to shake the boy to wake him, but I ran out of my tent the instant I heard Joan scream.
So did I. So did my wife. The creature must have been there.
Mr. Maloney.
Well?
Nothing. No animal. Only look at the ground, sir. Look at the ground.
Dear God, he's right. The footprints of a dog. They go straight to Joan's tent. And they go to your tent, too, Sangre.
And after that, shine the lantern over here.
Nowhere.
They must.
Follow the trail yourself. It goes all round Joan's tent, all round Sangre's tent. And then it stops.
Is Mr. Sangre there?
Yes.
Can you build up the fire, Mr. Sangre? I need hot water.
Of course.
When do we leave?
What?
You'll want to strike camp as quickly as possible.
Why?
My dear man, after this...
Mr. Hubbard, you take me for a coward. I refuse absolutely to be frightened away by a wild animal.
But Joan has been hurt.
My daughter isn't lacking in courage either.
She was badly frightened. We can't stay here.
Nonsense. There are five of us, and I have a gun. I am rather anxious to see this creature that can vanish into thin air in a matter of seconds.
But your daughter...
Oh, Joan's a brave girl. Joan would agree with me. This is far too interesting to leave.
You really are a hunter, aren't you?
I've led my family through most of the wilder parts of this earth, Hubbard. If you don't trust me, you're at perfect liberty to go.
No, no, you mistake my meaning. I think the perils we face may be too extraordinary, too far removed from normal human experience. Maloney, if you refuse to go, may I send for help?
A party of your friends with rifles?
One man only. He's in Stockholm at the moment. You met him. His name is John Silence. I propose to go to Waxholm first thing in the morning and telegraph him from there.
I've been expecting you to send for me, Stephen.
Why then?
From the moment I saw you with your friends, I've had a feeling of unease. Shall we walk a little in the woods?
Yes. We'd better talk alone. This is the most confounded business.
Tell me, have any of you seen the dog?
No. It comes in the night, crying amongst the trees for all the world, like a lost soul. It leaves footprints, it claws Joan, and nobody can see it.
I think you will.
Then the animal is really there.
No, it is not really there. But I think you will see it.
Oh, John, what in heaven's name do you mean? Don't talk in riddles, man. We're perplexed enough.
Oh, forgive me. I came to certain conclusions the moment I heard your story.
It's a trick of sound. It comes from another island.
No, my friend. It comes from one of you.
But I...
No, Stephen. It is never wise for an over-civilized man to isolate himself in places where nature rules. For surely, he will revert.
We're not turning into savages, I promise you.
Tell me, is anyone here in bad health?
Why?
It has a bearing on the case.
Well, nobody's been sick. We've had no fever. I believe Sangre is delicate, but he's stood up to camp life so far.
Ah, yes, the Canadian boy. Has he red Indian blood in him?
Oh, I have no idea. It's possible, I suppose.
That would make it much easier, of course.
John, stop walking so fast. You stride through the undergrowth like a pioneer. Just explain what's happening in simple terms, for pity's sake.
Why not? Well, the thing is indeed simple. We all possess a physical body, and within that a fluid or astral body.
You mean the soul?
Do I? Your muscular clergyman would call it that. And it is undoubtedly released on death. But under certain conditions, this fluid body has the power of projecting itself and even becoming visible. It can be accomplished by certain kinds of training. Shock, intense passion, some drugs may produce the same result.
And this body might appear in animal form?
In any form. It depends on the nature of the man. Is Sangre in love with that girl?
I believe so.
Yes. Yes, and Sangre is weak, a poor student, of no account, ignored by the party. He represses all desire, certain it could not be returned. For the girl has a vigorous father, a pretty, sophisticated mother, a secure and comfortable home.
No, John, no, it won't do. Sangre joined us in hunting for the dog. It was Sangre who found the tracks. He was as worried as anyone.
No doubt, but answer me this. When Sangre was with you, did you find the dog? Did you hear the dog?
No.
Exactly. Because Sangre was awake.
It happens then?
Only when the boy is sleeping. And entirely without his knowledge, I imagine. I would expect it at around 2 a.m. when the links with the body are at their most tenuous.
What's to be done? Send the boy home?
Oh, that's a counsel of failure. Could you persuade Miss Maloney to set up her tent on the other side of the island?
Away from the camp? Oh, I hardly think...
No, not alone. You mistake my meaning. Let her father and mother go too, whilst you and I and Sangri sleep here.
What can I tell them?
Oh, Sam, making an experiment in the hope of ending this business without harm. Come, we must go back. A clear sky and a new moon. That bodes well for the morning.
Oh, it's morning now. How long have we been sitting out here? It must be near 2 o'clock.
You're tired?
No, you mistake me. A little stiff, no more.
Walk up and down. It will restore your circulation and serve to keep you awake.
Upon my word, I'm not drowsy.
I'm glad to hear it. You may not have long to wait, my friend.
For what? What do you expect, John?
Pass me your matches. My pipe's gone out. Did your friends raise any objections?
Oh, Reverend Tim muttered something about the folly of splitting our forces. But Mrs. Maloney saw the point.
You told them...
Oh, very little, frankly. It seemed easier to underline Joan's safety. I had no wish to engage Maloney in an argument on the nature of the soul.
Especially as you don't believe in it yourself.
The soul? Or your astral body? No, nothing you say surprises me, John. You deal in mysteries beyond my grasp.
I'm not a conjurer.
I know.
The essential fact to understand is the nature of the mind. Now, once you have grasped...
My God!
Yes?
The ground!
So, you can see it at last.
Oh, John, there's something coming out of Sangri's tent.
Yes.
What is it?
Be still. Keep your eyes on it, but don't move.
Huge. Like a wolf. The head lifting to sniff the wind. I can see its face.
Get up. Quietly.
A huge gray form. The ears rising, the muzzle wet.
Follow. Keep your distance.
Where's Sangri?
Asleep in his tent, what is left of him.
What do you mean?
Only the husk lies there. The spirit is moving through the night.
I could swear that thing was real and alive. Padding between the trees. John, I can see its hair.
Keep your mind concentrated on the objects. Don't look back. Don't think of anything else or we may lose him.
My God!
He's calling to her.
This is horrible.
No, natural effect, the projection of desire. All the repressions of the day break from him in sleep.
Listen.
Yes, I was not mistaken.
Man, do you hear?
There is nothing to be afraid of. She is answering him.
That creature, it's beginning to run.
Follow.
It moves like a shadow.
Can you still see it?
I'm not sure. The moonlight plays tricks.
Well, hurry.
I can't keep pace with you, John.
There it goes, between the trees.
We shall never be able to... What's that?
Hurry.
But look, over there. What is it? Gleaming white under the moon.
Nothing I did not expect.
There's something moving towards us, across the clearing. My God, it's Joan.
Wait. Stand well back within the shadows. Don't make a sound.
But it's Joan.
Keep back. Have you still not understood? She's walking in her sleep.
She sleeps.
You must not wake the girl. She will come to no harm.
Look at the dog. It's running toward her.
John!
Who's that? Maloney. He must have followed her. And he's got a gun.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! For God's sake, don't shoot!
Stand away, John!
Dear Lord in heaven, protect us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness.
You fool! You may have killed him!
Joan! I'm here! My darling child!
But the dog has vanished.
I cried to you. I told you not to shoot.
Don't be afraid, Joan. There's no danger now. Hold on to me.
I warned you.
Dr. Silence? Hubbard? You here? My daughter's collapsed. Help me to lift her. All right. All's well. Calm yourself, my dearest. Yes, I'm here, Joan. Lie back against my arm.
He's gone.
No. I am with you. Always.
Where is he?
I'm here, my darling. Look up. You're quite safe with me.
He left me alone.
The girl is ill.
You should never have woken her, Mr. Maloney.
Is this man insane? You saw the danger of yourself. There was a dog. And it has gone, John.
It dissolved into the air before my eyes.
Get back to Sangri's tent. Fast. He will need your help.
Sangri is half a mile away, asleep.
Pray God he is not dead. Do as I say.
Very good.
Mr. Maloney, you have done a stupid and a dangerous thing.
I have saved my child.
Take her back to the tent. I blame myself. I should have warned you at the beginning. I had no idea you might follow with a gun.
Thank God I did. Joe, can you stand?
Why has he left me?
You've had an evil dream. It'll be forgotten in the morning. I will speak of this tomorrow, Dr. Silence. I am very angry.
Stephen. How you found him?
Yes.
How is he?
He seems to be in pain. Sangri. Sangri, wake up, man.
Oh, it hurts. What has happened? Oh, something's wrong with my shoulder. My neck.
Lie still. Thank heaven your clergyman is a bad shot. He aimed for the head and missed.
I've been attacked by that animal.
No, no. You must have strained your muscles while overworking.
Oh. Yes, I should definitely tell Mr. Maloney that. He'll find it easier to believe.
But what is the truth?
What do you think? Rest, Mr. Sangri. I'll send the ladies to nurse you.
But my mind cannot accept.
The damage to the astral body can appear on the physical body. Well, then, don't believe it. It is possible that Sangri, who is not strong, hurt his shoulder chopping wood. Keep your rational explanation if it comforts you.
I should like to examine Sangri.
Come away. Miss Maloney will be here before long. I rather fancy she's in love with him.
And he?
Oh, he loves her with all his soul.
I am not convinced. Why, the dog tried to hurt Joe.
I think not. On those other nights when the dog came looking for her, it was pawing at her arm, trying to rouse her, trying to call her spirit.
And now?
I think you will not see the dog again.
How can you be so sure?
Oh, my friend, it is no longer necessary. Come, I must speak to your worthy clergyman, and then I must go.
Paging Mr. Hubbard! Paging Mr. Hubbard!
I think that's for you, Stephen.
Yes. Here, boy.
There are two ladies in the hall, sir, asking for you.
Oh, please show them into the visitor's lounge.
Yes, sir.
You'll join us, John?
Thank you. I should like to.
Mrs. Maloney, how good to see you again. And what brings you to London?
We are shopping for Joan's trousseau.
She's getting married?
Yes, indeed. You remember Mr. Sangri?
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? My congratulations, my dear fellow. Joan, I wish you joy. You must take tea with us. Would you like to leave your coats in the cloakroom?
Yes, please. London is so hot and dirty.
Down that passage to the left, and Mr. Sangri on the right.
Thank you, sir.
John.
How well they look. And how contented with each other.
When Sangri took off his coat, he has a mark on the side of his neck, a dull red scar, like a bullet wound.
Oh, yes. He'll carry that till the day he dies.
But, John...
Come. The happy couple are waiting for you. And I think you promised them tea.
The Camp of the Dog by Algernon Blackwood was adapted for radio by Sheila Hodgson. John Silence was played by Malcolm Hayes, and Stephen Hubbard by Timothy Bateson. The Reverend Timothy Maloney, David March. Mrs. Maloney, Joan Matheson. Joan Maloney, Jane Knowles. Peter Sangri, Peter Whitman. And the club porter, David Sinclair. The production was by Harry Catlin.